We know from other historical sources that Herod was quite the bloodthirsty king, that he murdered his own brother, his mother, and one of his own sons because of his concern that they would usurp his power. So we don't have any historical records beyond this Gospel of Matthew that recount this massacre of the holy innocents, but it's not beyond what we know of this man that he would do something like this. And this points precisely to the opposition that Satan has to the newborn king. Satan at every turn in the Gospels does a counterattack to what God proposes. So whereas God is born into this world as a weak child, so Satan tries to take advantage of that weakness. And Christ is saved from this massacre precisely through the obedience of Joseph. Through Joseph, who receives this warning in the dream and once again obeys. And if it weren't for this man who in complete silence obeys the Lord, we wouldn't have Jesus with us today. And that points precisely to the fact that when we obey the Lord, we avoid the fury of Satan. That it is obedience that saves us from all the counterattacks, the retaliation, the vengeance that Satan wreaks, that he brings upon those who desire to further God's plan of salvation. And Joseph shows us that not only must we be obedient, but immediately. And imagine trying to tell a mother who had just given birth, okay, we're going to go on a long journey by foot to a foreign land through desert. Not exactly the most comfortable of journeys. But Joseph immediately gets up, and by night they depart for Egypt. And that's the obedience that sets Mary and Jesus free from that wrath of Satan. On a spiritual interpretation of this event, whenever Jesus is born, especially when he is spiritually brought into our souls, other things must go. This is entirely spiritual, because never would God sacrifice other humans for his own son. But the point here is that when Christ wants to be born within our lives, there must be other things, even good things, that need to go. And so in religious life, we talk about giving up money, giving up our free will, giving up the ability to marry. And so the Lord, oftentimes when he comes to certain souls, he wants to be the one who fills that person with love and bring them into a new family, which is the church. And they have to let go of other things, which can be very difficult, can be very painful, and in one sense could be compared to this massacre of innocence, of good things in our lives, nonetheless things that are secondary as compared to Christ. And these innocent children show us, on a third point, they show us that in order to be a martyr for Christ in our daily lives, many times it's not necessary that we suffer in a glorious way. Sometimes we think that we need to be like the martyrs of old from the early church and have all sorts of wonderful things, like Lawrence being able to mock the Roman soldiers, turn me on my other side. The holy innocents show us that sometimes it's simply enough to suffer for Christ and to let that suffering itself be a witness of our love for him. Even if we don't suffer as well as we could, even if we don't suffer as well as we want to, but the mere fact of our suffering is a sign of our love for Christ. If only we let our blood be mingled with his blood, we let our hearts be united to his heart. And that's what John gets at in the first reading, letting our blood touch the blood of Christ. And the ancient Hebrew idea of expiation with a mercy seat. The high priest would take the blood of the goat upon whom he had said every sin of the nation, and that blood, as it were, would carry all those sins. And that blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat, and the idea was that when the sinfulness of mankind touches God, it's purified and it's cleansed of its sin. And in the same way, when we receive the blood of Christ, that's the expiation for our sins. Precisely that blood of Christ, which is so filled with love, so filled with the mercy of God, overpowers our sins and sets us free. Jesus is the new mercy seat. He is the place where expiation happens. And so when we draw near to him, especially in Holy Communion, we no longer need to go to the temple, to the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies comes to us. And that's the great reversal. For a Jew, it would be inconceivable that a lay person would be able to have such direct access to God. But we have that access. Jesus not only waits upon us, he comes to us. He puts his blood upon our lips that we might be freed from our sin And like these holy innocents, one day be with him to rejoice with his love, with his mercy, with his angels and saints forever in heaven.